And then one thing that I think is really helpful in terms of earning your seat at the table and building influence is getting to know how your business operates. It is very easy to get stuck just in the day-to-day of your job. And of course, at the end of the day, you need to be good at what you do, what you're hired to do. But do your homework, like get to know other departments, get to know their goals. How does the business operate? How do you make money? Ask questions, spend time learning. It's really going to be showing your stakeholders that you understand their world and what they care about. And then when you go to them with a go-to-market strategy or a new narrative you're developing or whatever it may be, again, you've earned some trust and they're willing to listen and collaborate and partner with you. And that just really, again, means understanding your business and folks outside your team and what they're working on. So just a few things that I think help, again, earn trust and help you build credibility as a product marketer.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Product Marketing Life by Product Marketing Alliance. I'm Sid Catan, your host. I'm a senior product marketing manager at Beekeeper, and I just had the pleasure of interviewing Hannah Pickering. Hannah Pickering is the director of product marketing at Centivo, and we got deep about how product marketing can actually earn a seat at the table. And just like anything, it's earned, not deserved. Well, Hannah, welcome to Product Marketing Life. Thanks for joining today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
So before we start talking about product marketing, we'd love to just hear a little bit more about you and your background.
For sure. In a nutshell, I'm Hannah. I'm a writer turned product marketer, someone who discovered marketing and then while in marketing found this whole world called product marketing and hightailed it over there as soon as I could. I love my job and love the work. I think it's a beautiful balance of the creative and logical sides of the brain, a little bit of magic, a lot of science. I honestly get a kick out of the fact that it's product marketing, but it's not marketing. And I think that's something that keeps me intrigued about the role every day. I love building functions, connecting the dots. I really enjoy seeing people get excited by a narrative that's compelling and stands out. I'm originally from the Seattle area. I've spent the last 3+ years in Chicago and now New York. So I've slowly made my way from west to east. Outside of my 9-to-5, I'm a Product Marketing Alliance ambassador. I love running. I read. Traveling's a big passion. And I take my job as an at-home barista very seriously.
Nice. Are we talking like lattes or, you know?
All the things. Pour over, lattes, cappuccinos, whatever is on the menu for the day. Whatever the mood is.
That's impressive. I'll have to get some tips from you.
Yes. Happy to share tips.
Deal. And you also mentioned you started as a writer.
I did. So way back, I initially thought I was going to spend the rest of my life being an international journalist. That was my dream goal. I was going to work at a company like the BBC, write stories, travel. And I discovered marketing through an internship opportunity and found, hey, I can apply a lot of the things I love about storytelling in this role, but it opens up so much more other avenues and things I want to try and learn. And so ended up pivoting from writing into content marketing, which was obviously a great fit. And then from there into product marketing.
Very cool. So that might make this next question easy, but what's a non-marketing skill or habit that's made you better at product marketing?
Great question. For me, I'd say it's curiosity. I'm a very curious person. Doesn't mean I'm nosy, but it means I want to know. And I have a really big appetite for learning and I never want to stop. And that made me want to get into product marketing and learn more about that path. But it's helped me in lots of ways outside of just product marketing. It's helped me be a better colleague and professional and marketer and honestly, I think human. I've worked in industries that are complex. I've worked with products that are hard to position and talk about. And having that curiosity has helped me jump in heads first and start with what I know and what I don't know and close the gap as quickly as I can. And just honestly be willing to roll up my sleeves and learn and be willing to be uncomfortable because you're not going to be the expert at the beginning. And so taking that curiosity has just really helped me embrace new things and hard challenges and just find the joy in the learning side of it.
Yeah, I feel like you have to, right, to end up in the product marketing mess. And I like to ask people, like, what is your kind of stumbled into product marketing moment, right? Because I always say, like, it's not like there's a undergrad degree for product marketing.
I know. And I was talking to someone the other day who was thinking about transitioning to product marketing. And I told her I've yet to meet someone who started out in product marketing. I'm sure they're out there somewhere. My journey was very similar with a lot of other product marketers in the sense that I kind of found it accidentally. I mentioned that I'd started out wanting to be a writer and a journalist. I transitioned into a content marketing path, and I really loved that. It was a lot of the storytelling. I also learned how to, you know, create a content strategy, manage distribution, et cetera. I worked a lot with sales, helped them with nurture and outbound campaigns and all those types of things. At the time, I was working with a really great product marketer, and I saw how he was taking that storytelling frame of mind into his work, but was really diving deep into understanding your audience and the category and space you're in and thinking about how do you best position your solution in a way that's going to really speak to your audience and show how it can help solve their core problems. And so that part of it was really interesting. I wanted to try that out, and it felt like a very natural evolution. I also was really interested in not just continuing to be a storyteller, but also understanding the art and science of taking products to market. I wanted to be part of that journey end to end, all the way through, hey, this is something we're thinking for a roadmap and here's why, to we've launched this, let's help our customers utilize it and get the most value out of it. And so that led me to pivot a little bit into product marketing, and the rest is history.
Yeah. So like, what's your product marketing journey been so far? Like, what companies have you been at? Can you walk me through that?
Absolutely. So my first product marketing role, I pivoted a little bit, not just from content and more social media marketing into product marketing. I also pivoted industries. So at the time I was in Seattle. As you can imagine, there's a lot of B2B technology companies in that space. I was working at a company that was in that space as well. And it was great. But I found this really cool opportunity at this local startup who was kind of on the bridge between technology and employee benefits. The company had a commuter management platform that they ran and had built. The companies used to help manage their commuter benefits, on-site parking and things like that for employees. So it was a really nice kind of transition from technology more into the employee benefits world. And I kind of stayed and kept going from there. I ended up at a company called Health Equity, one of the largest administrators of health savings accounts in the U.S., employee benefits space there, but a little bit more in the intersection between benefits and healthcare. And then more recently, I recently joined a company called Centivo, which is a alternative health plan. So I've gone even further into healthcare, which has honestly been really fulfilling. It's something that I'm super passionate about. And as a product marketer, you have the ability to impact people's lives in very real and tangible ways.
Yeah, and I definitely resonate with that. Had my own little health tech moment that I sometimes miss, I'm not going to lie. But I'm curious, like, yeah, I mean, you know, when you talk to your peers and kind of see the product marketing wisdom out there, like how would you say product marketing is different in that space, whether that's employee benefits or healthcare and health tech at large?
Yeah, it's a really good question. It's something I love to talk about because I think not a lot of people do. A lot of the information out there and the resources for PMMs are very much geared towards the tech space and B2B SaaS. There's a lot more industries out there. there's a couple of things that I think are a little bit different. One, your product isn't often a product in the sense of like a SaaS platform or even like a consumer packaged good, something tangible you can go to the store and buy. Your product could be a health plan that you have access to that connects you with providers in your area so you can get care when you need it. It could be like, was that health equity? It could be a tax advantage savings account that you can put money into and then use that to pay for medical expenses. There's lots of other different types of companies in the healthcare, health tech space, but the product is often not as producty as a tech product. And so it does make it a little bit different that you can't always sort of take and implement as is some of the frameworks or practices that a B2B tech product marketer would apply. You sometimes have to rewrite things and figure them out in a new way. One thing that's I find kind of fun, but also complex and different about healthcare and product marketing there is that while you sell to an employer audience, so it's B2B in that sense, your end user is often a consumer like you and I. And so we call that B2B2C. And it adds some nuance to your work as a product marketer where you're thinking about how to position your solution to sell it to an employer, but then speak to the benefits and impact it can have for the end user being their employee, which also has an impact on the organization they work in. And so you're always thinking of multiple audiences as you craft your positioning and then building out that messaging at an audience level. And so it adds a little bit of complexity to the work, but it makes it fun. You have to think a little bit harder there. So it is a little bit different. There are things you can still do. I think some parts of the job stay the same. It's also a highly regulated industry. So you got to really understand the nuance there. I would say it's very traditionalist as you come into it. You have a lot of, this has been the way things have been done for 30 years. And I think that's starting to change. There's disruptors like Centivo, for example, that are coming on the scene. But it's interesting coming into as a product marketer, especially one who wasn't from that space. The learning curve is high. Just learning to navigate that and figure out how do you make an impact as a product marketer.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What I've found is like you have to do a lot more, I don't know, like investigative research about like the customer experience. And like you said, both yes. on the B2B side, but then the B2B2C side of like really understanding the end user and what their life mm-hmm. looks like with your products and like how they take advantage of what solution you really have to offer. So I really like that. And yeah, definitely resonate with some of that. You mentioned Centivo. Can you tell us more about that and what your role looks like there?
Yeah. So I've been at Centivo almost 2 months now. I'm a director of product marketing. I actually sit on the product team, which is something new for me. I've always been in marketing. But the idea there is that with product marketing and product, we're able to create closer feedback loops between our customers and market needs and insights. And then what the product team is building as you think about the roadmap. Like I mentioned before, Centivo is a health plan, and the mission is to bring affordable, high-quality healthcare to millions of Americans who are struggling to pay their healthcare bills. And so that's something that I get to be a part of as a product marketer, helping to continue to shape Centivo's value story and then drive adoption of Centivo's solution in the market. And I'm like I mentioned, I sit within the product team, so obviously I'm working a ton with product, with sales, with marketing to help take that story to market. And work closely with other folks on our team who touch different parts of the customer journey. And again, really creating those close feedback loops with the product team as they think about the product strategy and where that's going to go.
Interesting. So what does that look like for you kind of day to day when it comes to those closer feedback loops? I'm a little curious because I'm actually transitioning to sitting under product instead of marketing.
So
I'm
just curious, cool.
Like, yeah, I'm curious what that looks like or like the changes you've already seen
Yeah. Well, I will say if you're a good product marketer, it should hopefully not be too much of a change because it shouldn't mean you are forced into product to have a good relationship with your product peers and work with them. But the idea is that it makes it a little bit easier. And I think the biggest impact that I've seen so far is in engagement of product marketing earlier up in the product lifecycle. So probably one of the most common things you hear product marketers complain about is we're brought in too late. And it's kind of an oft-repeated refrain. I don't know if there's a magic solution to it yet, but sometimes that just happens because product is just deeply embedded in what they're thinking about and building. And oftentimes the kind of external representation of that hasn't popped in their brain yet. And so they're engaging product marketing a bit later when they're ready to go live with something and we need to enable the sales team and we need to launch a campaign, et cetera. With product marketing sitting in product, there's just organically more opportunities where you're being engaged earlier on. You're sitting in on meetings where they're talking about strategy. I know with Centivo, there's a lot of interest in getting more market insights. And so that's another reason why they wanted to bring product marketing into product. And so I just think it creates organically more of those opportunities where when you sit in the marketing team, you might have to work a little bit harder to get in those doors and be a part of those conversations. When you're formally part of the team, I think it's sometimes a forcing function to make that happen.
Crazy, right? Like it feels like a somewhat of a small thing, but it actually adds up. Yeah.
Yeah. And ask me later too. I mean, it's been just under 2 months. So we'll see how it goes. But again, I think if you're a good product marketer, you could find a way to get to that status quo, even if you sit in marketing, but you might just have to work a little bit harder at it.
Yeah, absolutely. Within product marketing, what does your team look like right now?
We're a team of two. Small but mighty. There was another product marketer who's been there for over a year now. And so that there's a growth there as they want to bring on another hire and hopefully continue to grow the team. So for now, we're a team of two. We sit with a couple other team members who own different centers of excellences, if you will, touching customer experience, user experience and design, product analytics, supporting and servicing the rest of the organization.
Gotcha. Okay. And it sounds like you've kind of made, long journey from a writer to product marketer to now director of product marketing. What is that like evolution look like? Like, what did you kind of, what are some of the learnings along the way?
Yeah. It's been an interesting journey. It was a lot of hard work, to be honest. I think when I think back thus far in my career, it's a lot of reinventing yourself a little bit and constantly looking for new opportunities to do that. I've always operated from a position of working at a higher level than I am on paper. So if my job description is XYZ, how can I help it be XYZ plus ABC? And looking for new opportunities. And honestly, a lot of times saying yes to things that I maybe fully didn't know how to do end to end. But we be willing to roll up my sleeves and talk with people and work with people and figure it out. And I think that helped a lot in pivoting from content into content and social, and then having more of like a field marketing role folded in under that, then transitioning to product marketing and being where I'm at now. A lot of saying yes, raising your hand, trying things out, building relationships with people. Super, super important. Finding people who believe in you and are willing to champion and who see potential in you. It can help, mentor, coach, and champion you in any ways. I think also incredibly important because that ends up opening up doors that you didn't know exist. And there's definitely been people along the way who have helped me get to where I am today because of that.
Yeah. I like that. Never stand on the shoulders of giants. So what's like something in your career that no one really taught you that's not in a product marketing textbook, that's not in any of the courses? Like what's something you kind of had to find out just by trial and error?
Yes. Hot take or not, you have to earn your seat at the table. And this maybe will be very controversial. In an ideal world, everyone has a seat at the table. When you're a product marketer, it's very easy to say, well, I'm the product marketer. I know my customer. I know the solution. I know the marketplace. You should listen to what I have to say. You're having roadmap conversations. You should listen to what I have to say and prioritize what I say is differentiated and should be on the roadmap. That's all good, but doesn't really match up with reality. And it often means that you have to earn influence. You have to earn not just necessarily the seat at the table, maybe, but the input that people are going to seek out that's going to help inform product strategy, marketing strategy, and more. And it's something that no product marketing course that I've seen teaches you. Oftentimes, it's not even something that your manager may realize they need to coach you on. And so there's a couple ways, like I've learned, and I've seen other product marketers who do this well, I think, kind of succeed at that. Do the small things well. Don't give someone a reason to doubt your ability and talent by doing small things sloppily. Especially when you're coming new into an organization, it just helps to build that confidence in your abilities. And while that shouldn't be judged on the small things are what people tend to remember. I really believe in honing a unique point of view. As a product marketer, we mentioned research before, invest every week in doing market research, competitive research, talking to customers. Try to be one step ahead of your peers. Develop a unique point of view about the marketplace and where your product could fit in and how best to position it. And you'll notice that people start to seek out your ideas and your input organically because they know you have a unique point of view and they value that. And that really can help, I think, differentiate you within an organization. And then one thing that I think is really helpful in terms of earning your seat at the table and building influence is getting to know how your business operates. It is very easy to get stuck just in the day-to-day of your job. And of course, at the end of the day, you need to be good at what you do, what you're hired to do. But do your homework, like get to know other departments, get to know their goals. How does the business operate? How do you make money? Ask questions, spend time learning. It's really going to be showing your stakeholders that you understand their world and what they care about. And then when you go to them with a go-to-market strategy or a new narrative you're developing or whatever it may be, again, you've earned some trust and they're willing to listen and collaborate and partner with you. And that just really, again, means understanding your business and folks outside your team and what they're working on. So just a few things that I think help, again, earn trust and help you build credibility as a product marketer.
I love that. I'm going to riff on this with you because
yes,
I definitely had a very, I literally got to see both sides of the coin. Like when I started in a product marketing role, I was kind of like, had imposter syndrome, was like really confused and kind of like, yeah, well, I don't have the seat at the table. And, you know, it's kind of like, it's like this like very uphill battle to like get there. And then more recently in the last, I don't know, three or four years, like I get more questions like, hey, can you come to this meeting? Or like, hey, really want to, like from a product manager, like, hey, this is like, I really want your eyes on this, or like, you know, I want you on this team, whatever like that. And like, I started thinking about it. I'm like, how did I, you know, get from here to there? And it was a lot of like everything you talked about. And like, to me, it's also the simple tips, like,
yeah,
repeat what people say back to them, right? Like if you invite them and get their feedback early, you don't even have to have your like own ideas. If you're still early in your career and still trying to figure it out, just talk to three people in sales, talk to a few PMs, take their ideas and then package it into something and come back to the table with that. Because people love to hear their own ideas on paper, especially when they haven't like, you know, put pen to paper and like made them come to life. The other one, like you were saying, kind of piggybacking off of unique perspective, I think it's like also showing your work, like showing how you think. At least like for me, that's really helpful as well, because I think people like can now they kind of expect a certain style out of me, like very honest. I'm just going to kind of say it how it is. And then also like, basically like limited politics. I'm just going to tell you what I think is the answer. And then it's usually like the path of least resistance. Like, yes, we could go and analyze this for a few months and like come up with this beautiful process and see if it works, or we could just iterate and try it now and like see what happens. And that is almost always my like mindset. It's like, kind of gunslinging, kind of Wild West and like very early stage mindset. And I think that's actually like, for good or bad, right? Maybe it's polarizing. It's earned like a reputation of, hey, Sid's just going to like make this go forward and like through sheer force or whatever it is, willpower, like that's how it's going to operate versus, okay, this sounds cool. Let's turn this into like a huge mirror board. Like sometimes there's a totally a time and place for that. But like often I find the way I like to work and the way I want to work with people is like, let's try it. And mm-hmm. I think once you start like kind of, it's almost like you're positioning yourself, right? Once you like kind of occupy a certain space in someone's mind, that's how they're going to think of you.
Yeah, that's huge. I 100% agree. When I was thinking about product marketing and what is one of my learnings within that path, there's something you're saying that ties into that, which is around like being able to move things forward. And when people know that you can move things forward within reason, of course, like don't push something if it's not, if it could fall apart once you launch or what have you. But when you develop that reputation, people come to you because they know they can trust that if we need to do X, Y, Z, you're going to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And whatever it takes could be quickly iterating, learning fast, testing, so that you don't spend 6 months building the most complex project plan ever and never getting it off the ground. And it's interesting because it goes back to my earlier comment around like the art and science of product marketing. You could spend forever conceptualizing and comparing and doing research and deep diving. And if that doesn't get off the ground, it's hard for other people to see the value of it. But if you're looking for those quick wins and moving things forward and quickly applying the thinking part of it, then people start to trust your instincts and also know that you can execute. And I do think that's really critical as a product marketer. Even as you progress in your career, you're still going to need to be a strong executor while also being a thoughtful planner and thinker and strategist. And you need to like saddle both worlds. And I think, you know, the scenario you're describing is a great way of how you can, where you're continuing to move things forward and, you know, test and learn quickly and hone the strategy over time. So you're not like, you know, compromising one for the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a big responsibility, right? When you look at that Venn diagram, there's product, there's marketing, there's sales, there's CS. And like, I think like owning that and being like, yeah, I do sit at the center of this. And that means like if someone from product is talking to me, they can expect me to know a little bit about what sales, CS, and like other teams are doing.
Yeah, you've done your homework.
Yeah, exactly. That you've done your homework, that you can be trusted with, like, you know, instead of that product person having to go find someone in sales, they can trust you to have this like broader market view and have already had those conversations. I think, it's like some of those things, like I think are actually simple, right? Some of those that you can just do by hard work and just putting those times on people's calendar. Like you have a call with someone from sales, someone from CS, and someone from product every week, you know, like you'll probably be in a good place as long as you're not like idling around in those meetings. So
agreed. And a lot of your work is connecting the dots. And I have very mixed feelings about the sustainability of that long term, but there's something to be said about, because you're so cross-functional and you're talking and you're understanding, not just internally, but externally, you're able to connect the dots between things. Like you said, even other people's ideas in a way that other people might not be positioned to do because they're very much immersed in their own world. And so you're probably the most unsiloed person in the company, right? Hopefully. And that gives you the ability to connect the dots and move from concept to strategy to execution and then learning very quickly, and really help be the dot connector between internal teams and then also external customers and prospects out there. That's super valuable. And again, it's a role that not a lot of people sit in just because their job is not well suited to that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, tying it back to what you said earlier, like sometimes it just makes like, we kind of expect to have the seat at the table and like maybe even think that it's like, I don't know, like the reasoning behind it is like malicious, but it's just like product teams also want to move fast. Like they, they might have forgotten, or they're just like, you know, in the sprint and they're not thinking about, hey, what does the market want? So it's like finding ways to resurface that. Either that's through reminding them through some sort of channel you have or something like that, or just like next time you know, there is a conversation, once again, you show up prepared and you're like, here's what I learned about the customer. Here's what I learned about the market. And I think like when you can show that the next time, then they're always going to think back, oh, wow, like, you know, that one time we developed this feature, we should have thought about it this way. We didn't. It hurt. Now, next time, we're not going to make that same mistake. So like, yeah, I think part of it is just like understanding where their world is and like realizing that, you know, there's probably like kind of just kind of giving them the benefit of the doubt, I guess.
For sure. Yeah. And, you know, it's working when you start to see them advocating for the things you have. When the PM says, hey, before we proceed, we probably need to go out and talk to some users, or we need to do a competitive analysis. And you're like, oh, I didn't even have to bring that up. Like, you automatically went there. That's when you know it's working. It's a journey. You got to get there. And I think, especially when in product, every like product manager you work with, they have a different degree of knowledge of how best to engage you. And so you also have to kind of suss them out and understand, what do they need from me? And how much education do I need to do versus, while this PM, he knows product marketing in and out, we can start ready with it. And so it's a lot of reading people, honestly. Actually, when you ask the question about what's something I learned, one of the things I thought of mentioning but ended up didn't is reading the room. And sometimes it means reading the room virtually. I've been remote since 2020. And you have to get to read people emotionally and like look at their facial cues and really get to understand their triggers. And it, again, it's all the soft skills and parts of your job that you don't get certified in facial cue reading when you're working on a launch plan with a PM, right? But like, again, you have to like get to develop those skills and really get to know people as humans. And it helps make the work side of work a lot easier. Super important, especially if you're working remotely. You really have to invest in that because it's harder to build those connections across the screen.
Yeah. Yes. But, you know, and all of this, I think like that's what we have to do in order to get to the ultimate vision, which I feel like we like put on this weird pedestal, which is influencing the roadmap, right? Like if only product market, if you're influencing product roadmap, you've made it.
Yeah. And honestly, influencing the roadmap is great. First, focus on getting things to market and driving adoption, and that will earn you a seat at product's table, because that's what they will need to do to be successful. And you could have the best roadmap that's gotten inputs from everyone, including the PMM, but if you launch stuff and no one uses it, or you can't sell it, you know, it kind of falls flat. And so I think that's a great way to kind of build trust as you're coming into a new role or working with a new PM, is showing that you can help them reach their goals, which should hopefully be your goal too. It should be a shared goal.
Yes. I like that a lot. And like even the foundation for that strong go to market and also the later roadmap influence is a strong understanding of your market. So like, yeah, that's the basis.
Else, how do you know what should be on the roadmap?
Exactly.
You have to, you know, invest in developing that point of view. And it usually comes with experience as well. I know when I first started out in employee benefits space, I didn't know squat about it. So who am I to go to product and say, this is one thing that should be on the roadmap? But investing time and getting to know your customers, I help manage a client advisory board, things like that. Tons of research and competitive analysis. Like, it helps you develop that point of view. And then you're better suited to come to the table and say, hey, have we thought of this? Here's what we're hearing from our customers. We did win-loss analysis. We're constantly losing opportunities because we don't have X, Y, Z. And then having data to back that up. It can't just be like, oh, I have a gut feeling that this is a nice thing that we should have.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We all speak customer, right? And if you can point at something and say, hey, on this call, these five calls, this customer said this is where I'm getting my idea for the roadmap and where it should go. like you have so much more strength behind whatever you're saying, right? And it's like shows you've done your diligence. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Love that. Awesome. Well, Hannah, this has been a really great conversation. If you have not listened to any of the other episodes before, I usually add my own little spicy question that I feel like just summarizes the episode, hopefully, and also the way you think. And the question is, product marketing is blank. Can you fill in the blank?
This was really hard. product marketing is hard to put in the box, but if I had to fill in the blank, I would say product marketing is a dance of connecting the dots and filling in the blanks. Ironically, like that is what we are doing. We are connecting the dots between our product, the market, our customers, and we are filling in the blanks, the unknowns that people don't know, with our unique point of view that we have hopefully owned.
Dang, you came prepared. And it's very ironic because the question is, can you fill in the blank? And you're saying product marketing fills in the blank.
It's filling in the blank. And that was not planned, by the way.
That's deep. That's actually really deep.
But I strongly believe in it. Like if I had to describe product marketing to someone, I would maybe start there. I feel like you can really shape it to be what you want to be. But at the end of the day, your work should be connecting the dots. And it should be filling in the blank so you can successfully take products to market and get people to know and love them and use them.
I love that. Awesome. Hannah, thank you so much. It's been a great convo. How can people learn more about what you're up to at Centibo and beyond?
Yes. Connect with me on LinkedIn. That's really where I'm most active from a professional perspective. I'm a big fan of learning in public, so I love sharing tips and frameworks and things I'm learning. I'm always open to Connect 101, so folks there could send me a message on LinkedIn. I'm happy to grab a virtual coffee, or someone's in the New York City area and they want to meet in person, face-to-face. That is an option too. So LinkedIn's probably the best spot.
But be warned, Hannah knows her coffee. So like,
yes,
you know.
I'm a little bit of a coffee snob. So please don't take me to Starbucks.
Nice.
Just kidding.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Hannah.
Thank you. Appreciate the time. I was glad to be here.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.